Chapter 16. Joyce.
Sorry I haven't written for a while. It's been very busy around here. But I have an apple pie baking in the oven, and I thought there might be a few things you would want to know. They buried Penny and John last Tuesday. It was a rainy day, and that seemed right. There were a surprising amount of people there, some who knew Penny from work. It had been in the newspapers about Penny and John. They hadn't got the whole story correct, but they were near enough. Elizabeth wasn't at the funeral. I'm afraid I think Penny was right, and I'm glad she did it. But that's not something I would tell anyone else. Elizabeth is much cleverer than me, and I know she has thought about it more, but I don't think she can disagree with what Penny did. But I do think Elizabeth must be sad at the secret. There were these two great friends with their mysteries, yet all that time Penny was the biggest mystery of all, and Elizabeth never knew. Penny killed Peter Mercer, and she kept it from John all her life until she became ill, and once John knew, he had to protect her. That's love, isn't it? Because Peter Mercer murdered Annie Madeley, John murdered Ian Ventham. The police haven't yet found Turkish Johnny, by the way, but they're still looking. Chris and Donna have come to visit a few times. Chris has a new lady friend, but is being quiet about it for now, and Donna won't talk about it. Chris says they'll catch Johnny one of these days. But Bogdan came here to fix my shower the other day, and he says Johnny is too smart for that. My feeling is that Johnny is too easy as a suspect. So Johnny came over and killed Tony because he had told the police about him. But why would Tony do that? Because Johnny helped him to hide a murder? It doesn't seem very likely. No, the only person who is too smart to be caught is Bogdan. Don't you think he killed Tony Curran? I do. I'm sure he had a good reason, and I look forward to asking him, but not until he's fixed my window, because he might not like the question. I'll check the pie in a minute. Shall we get on with more pleasant matters? Gordon Playfair sold his farm, and there are already diggers up there. I heard from Elizabeth that he got £4.2 million for his land. He said goodbye to the house he'd lived in for 70 years and packed his things into a van. Then he drove it 400 metres down the hill and unpacked them at a nice two-bed in Larkin Court. Bramley Holdings gave him the apartment as part of the deal, which brings us to another bit of news. Bramley Holdings? I now know why I remembered the name. When she was very small, Joanna had a little toy elephant that was pink with white ears and that she kept with her at all times. Its name was Bramley. So perhaps you can see what's happened? When we took Ian Ventham's financial file to Joanna and Cornelius, they had looked over his accounts. They liked them so much that Joanna decided to buy Cooper's Chase from Gemma Ventham. So, isn't that exciting? Joanna's company owns the whole place. She came to see me about it, and we talked, and I said I didn't think this was the kind of business that they usually bought, and she agreed, but she said they wanted to try new things. She did add that there was plenty of money to be made, but she told me she had another reason too, which I'll tell you now. She sat on the sofa that she had bought me, and taking my hand, she said, "Remember when you moved in here, and I told you it was a mistake? I said it would be the end of you, sitting in your chair with other people who were just waiting for their days to end. I was wrong. It was the beginning of you, Mum. I thought I would never see you happy again after Dad died. Your eyes are alive, your laugh is back, and it's thanks to Cooper's Chase, Elizabeth, Ron and Ibrahim. And so I bought it, the land, the whole development." "And a couple of things you'll want to know. The cemetery is staying. Joanna says they'll make enough money from Hillcrest, so the Woodlands development has been cancelled. The graves are also now protected in law, so Matthew Mackey doesn't need to worry. The other day, Elizabeth invited Matthew for lunch, and he came without his dog collar. We told him that Maggie was safe now, and you could see that he was nearly crying, but he didn't. Instead, he just asked to visit the grave. We walked up to the cemetery with him and waited by the gates as he walked through them and knelt down at the grave. And then the tears did come, as we knew they would, when he saw the gravestone. I had watched a couple of days ago as Bogdan had gently cleaned it and added, 'Patrick, 1971, to it. There's really nothing that Bogdan can't do. This morning, Elizabeth rang me to tell me that someone has put a very interesting note under her door. How exciting! But of course, it's Thursday, so I must go to the jigsaw room. I was worried that after Penny's death, we would stop meeting, but that's not how things happen around here. Life goes on until it doesn't. The Thursday Murder Club goes on. Strange notes are pushed under doors and murderers fix windows. I hope it continues for a long time. And right on time, the oven pings and my apple pie is ready. I'll let you know how everything goes."
Penguin Readers, The Thursday Murder Club, Richard Osman, Level 6. Retold by Anna Truin. Illustrated by Alan Brown. Series Editor Sorrel Pitts. Read by Nigel Pilkington. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2025.